Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we start a new Sefer, and in fact this is the shortest Sefer in all of Tanakh. It is the Sefer of Ovadia. It is one perek long and 21 psukim. So this is the fastest we will learn an entire Sefer in all of Tanakh in one day. But for today we're going to focus on introductions. It is actually going to be 2 days. Today will be the introduction to it. And then the next day we'll be focusing on the actual psukim themselves. Just to get a lot of background to the Sefer, so we're on the same page. The Sefer is comprised of 21 psukim, and it can roughly be divided into three major sections. The first 9 psukim, Aleph to Tes, are about the destruction of Edom. The psukim Yud to Yudalad are about the rebuke of the mishandling of Israel. And finally, Tesov to Chav Aleph is the salvation of Israel. So three basic sections, all very much related to one another. So a few questions in understanding this Sefer. The first question is, who was Ovadia? Ovadia is actually a pretty common name in Tanakh, appears a number of times. And in fact, two of the Ovadias lived at the same time. So as an example, at the times of Yehoshaphat and Ahav, Yehoshaphat was the king of Yehuda and Ahav was the king of Israel at the time. We know that in fact there were two Ovadias. There was an Ovadia in the south. In Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, we're told about Ushnas Shalos Lamalcho, in the third year of the reign of Yehoshaphat, Shalach Lesarov Leven Chayil, Ula Ovad Leven Chayil, Ula Ovadia, Vele Zecharia, Vele Saneo, Le Michayahu, Le Lameid, Boarei Yehuda. He was one of the officials of the kingdom of Yehoshaphat, and his title was actually, he was in the ministry of education. So he was going out to teach Torah to the areas around Yerushalayim. So that's Ovadia number one. At the same time, we know that in Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel, there is an Ovadia in the north. Vayikra Achav El Ovadiao, Asher Al Abayis, was in the house, Ovadiao, Hayo Yorei Es Hashem Od. There was an Ovadiahu who was in the house of Achav, and in fact, we know from the following Psukim that when Jezebel, the wife of Achav, decreed the destruction, the killing of all the Nevi'e Emes, the true prophets, he hid 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and in fact, later on, we know that when he died penniless because of sustaining these prophets. And his wife was, in fact, this poor woman who Elisha later on saved from her creditors with the miracle of the oil and the pots. Which is very, you know, very interesting history. So who is our Ovadia? So it is interesting that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Lamed Tes Amud Beis asks exactly this question. And the way the Gemara phrases it is, Maishna Ovadia le'edom. Why should Ovadia have a prophecy about Edom? Why is this book focused around Edom and why is it Ovadia giving it? The Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavoi Ovadiyahu Hadar Bein Shnei Rashaim, V'loi Lamad Mimaaseim, V'yinoveh Al Esav Harasha, Shadar Bein Shnei Tzadikim, V'loi Lamad Mimaaseim. This Ovadia, who lives among two Rashaim, is now going to bring the prophecy to Esav HaRasha, who was a Rasha between two tzaddikim and did not learn from them. Omar Ephraim Mekasha'al Talmido Shrebi Meir, Mishum Rebi Meir of Vadia Ger Adomi Haya. So before getting to this other opinion of Ephraim Akshah, it seems that over here that what it refers to is that Ovadia lives between two evil people. Who is these two evil people? Achav and Izevel. But he didn't learn from their ways. And who were the two righteous people that Esav did not learn from? That was Yitzhak and Rivka. So the suggestion over here is that we're referring to Ovadia of the north, it sounds like, as the potential prophet. And the second option which is written in this Gemara is Ephraim Miksha'ah, who was a Talmud Rabbi Meir, and he says that Ovadia Ger Adomi Hoya, he was a convert from Edom, Vahanu Domri Inshi, Minei Ubei, Abo Nizil, Bei Nargo. From the forest comes the axe, which it chops, which of course Matisyahu turned into a song, but this is the Gemara that it comes from, that he came from Edom, and therefore he could speak to Edom because that's where he came from. So in fact, he was a convert to Judaism. Two possibilities. Ibn Ezra rejects the first possibility, that he was really Ovadia of the north, hiding the prophets, because why would Tanakh call him a Yirei Hashem, a fearer of heaven, if he really was not just a Yoreas Hashem, he was a prophet. So Ibn Ezra doesn't give us another alternative, but that's the debate that seems to go on. The later academics, for instance, the Toldos Yisrael by Dr. Zev Yavetz, suggests that he lived after the times of Churban Rishon. Some of the academics say during the times of Yirmiyahu, during the times of the Churban Habayis. And the reason for that is that because he's talking about Edom, Edom only seems to be actively a problem for Israel at the times of the destruction and there afterwards. Whether he is a metaphor or for the other nations or not, who is actually involved, nonetheless, they put it later on. There is very little evidence as to whether we could put it earlier or later. Who is Edom? So Edom is a complex reality. In the Torah, we know Edom, in fact, is a person at the beginning. So we know in Parashas Toldos of the birth of twin brothers, Esav and Yaakov, and he is our enemy and our brother at the same time. Achi miad Esav, from our brother and my Esav himself. Yaakov negotiated with him, tricked him, ran away from him, appeased him, and blessed him. There's a complex reality here. In fact, this relationship is predicted before their birth, that Rivka is told, Vayomer Hashem lo, and the prophet of Hashem told Rivka, Shnei goyim bevidnech, two nations are in your womb, Ushnei lu'umim, and two lu'umim, which is another word for a nation or peoples. Mimeayech yiporedu, will separate from your womb, ulu'um mil'om yematz, v'ravi avod sa'ir, and one people shall be mightier than the other, and the older one will serve the youngest. There seems to be a power differential over here. There seems to be a seesaw effect, which is described in the Gemara in numerous places, that there seems to be a power where only one can hold the power seat at one time. And this is what seems to go play out its way out itself out in history. As a nation, Edom is also looked at, not as a person, but as a nation, Edom is looked at in a complex manner. On the one hand, we're told not to antagonize an Edomi because ki achichahu, because he's your brother. On the other hand, there are many prophecies about Israel taking back the land of Edom at the end of days, including the prophecies over here in Ovadia. In history, if we look at the history of Edom, sometimes Edom fought on the side of Israel. So for instance, at the beginning of Melachim Beis, when the north and the southern kingdom of Israel fight against Moab, they fight in conjunction with Edom on their side. However, later on, towards the destruction of Assyria and Bavel, then the Edomites pillaged and actually fought against Israel. So we have a complex history itself. Sometimes you'll see that Edom seems to be the symbol of all evil, of all nations, meaning it might not be Edom per se, but it might be all the other nations personified in it. And an example of, in the most extreme version of this, is Amalek. Amalek is the grandson of Esav or Edom. In Chazal broadened the theme by saying the Sifrei, in Shin Mem Gimel, in Devarim, it says that Edom is Rome, that the last of the Galios that we're going through, the 2,000-year Galos, just under 2,000-year Galos, which we have experienced, is in the hands of of Rome itself, and this is what it's referring to, that nation, or perhaps that idea and conception in the world. And finally, that's how this Sefer ends, with the prophecy, which we say at the end of Aziyashir every morning, which is not from Aziyashir, it's a pasuk in Ovadia, which is, Va'alu Moshim b'Har Tzion Nishpot Es Har Esav. There's going to come a time when the salvation will rise on Har Tzion, that's in Jerusalem, Nishpot Es Har Esav, to judge the symbolic mountain of Esav, which is to the east, the southeast. Va'esol HaShem HaMelucha, and on that day there'll be domination, there will be Melucha to Hashem over the entire world. And this allows us now to have the platform to be able to start looking at the book of Ovadia itself. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.